Citing new software development for the Raspberry Pi complements and surpasses previously released SCS software that leveraged Pactor modem's ability to monitor Pactor to read WinLink for meeting, SCS said. The company also said the new software permits modemless monitoring of all kinds, something that would be useful for monitoring WinLink email traffic. The WinLink development team called the software a welcome contribution to the amateur radio community. The issue of message encryption arose in recent months with respect to renewed attention to the AWRL's so-called symbol rate petition for rulemaking in RM Docket 11708 and the accommodation of automatically controlled digital stations, many of which employ WinLink. Some commenters on AWRL's petition expressed concern that Pactor message encryption was a violation of FCC amateur service rules.
This Week in Amateur Radio is heard on nets and repeaters all across North America and around the world on great repeater systems like our flagship repeater, W2GBO, on 146.940 MHz, serving the Tri-Cities of New York State's Capital Region.
Many of the news and information items heard on This Week in Amateur Radio have been provided by the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL letter, AMSAT, the Radio Amateurs of Canada, amateur radio newsletters from around the world, sources on the internet, and the packet bulletin board systems of the United States and Canada.
This Week in Amateur Radio is produced by Community Video Associates Incorporated. Now for the staff of This Week in Amateur Radio, this is Jeff Rahner, WB2AEQ, saying 73 until next week. This Week in Amateur Radio is copyright Community Video Associates Incorporated. All rights reserved.
WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGXC.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXE. 518-291-9492.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine Bauer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Columbia Green Media is reporting 4 forest rangers with the State Department of Environmental Conservation earlier this month recovered the body of a hiker at Plant Cove, according to a statement from the department. The 50-year-old man, who has not been identified, was reported missing in Plant Cove around 4 p.m. October 6. The man was dropped off on Plant Cove Road and intended to hike to the Platterskill Creek. He was set to camp and then meet a friend at Saugerties Bridge on Becker Road, according to the DEC. A search was conducted and the man's body was found approximately 1.25 miles upstream from Becker Road. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County lawmakers are sticking by the proposal the Highway Workers Union calls laughable, and will hold a public hearing on the issue November 20th. Quote, "We haven't had a raise in over a decade," unquote, the former president of the Greene County Union, Donald Mabin, said. The base salary for Greene County highway workers is $34,000, and the county is offering a raise of 40 cents for the next 4 years. Because the union has rejected several offers from the county, a fact finder was brought in, and Greene County legislators voted to accept their findings. But, quote, "If they deny it, we have to declare a final impasse and do a single-year contract," unquote, Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said. Quote, "Then we are back to the negotiation table next year," unquote. On the October 15th vote, Patrick Linger, Republican from New Baltimore, Linda Overbaugh, Republican from Catskill, Patricia Handel, Republican from Durham, William Lawrence, Republican from Cairo, Harry Lennon, Democrat from Cairo, Ed Bloomer, Republican from Athens, and Larry Gardner, a Democrat from Hunter, supported the resolution, while Thomas Hobart, Republican from Coxsackie, Charles Martinez, a Republican from Coxsackie, Michael Bullock, a Republican from Catskill, Matthew Lavera, a Republican from Catskill, Jack Keller, a Republican from Catskill, and Gregory Davis, a Republican from Greenville, voted against, with James Thorington, a Republican from Windham, absent. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Rick Collin is reporting for the Times Union. The Federal Department of Energy has declared the site of the former NL Industries munitions factory in Colony ready for redevelopment. The department owns the 11-acre site and wants to sell it or give it away. The site was tainted with radioactive dust left behind by the manufacturer of depleted uranium armor-piercing shells. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers spent more than 20 years and $190 million to remediate the toxic dust and other waste generated there. The parcel may ultimately become open space or a driving shortcut between Central and Railroad Avenues. DOE spokesman Patrick Benson said, and I quote, "At this point, it could be transferred over to the city or the local community. It is free to be used to be developed," end quote. Colony Planning Director Joe La Savita said he doubts the spot is marketable due to its history. He said, and I quote, "I don't believe that there would be a governmental or municipal entity that would be able to put that out on the market," end quote. The NL plant was closed in 1984 under a state court order, and the federal government eventually took control of the cleanup. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Carlin reports in the Times Union that a study conducted for the State Department of Environmental Conservation by St. Gobain Performance Plastics and Honeywell International lays out 5 options for Hoosick Falls residents to get clean drinking water. 4 years ago, perfluorooctanic acid, or PFOA, was found in the Rensselaer County town's drinking water from St. Gobain and Honeywell International factories there. The study suggests getting water from the nearby Tomahawk Reservoir or digging new permanent wells to provide residents with clean water. Quote, "Today's release of the water supply study prepared by the companies is another milestone in the progress being made under DEC's aggressive oversight to ensure the Hoosick Falls community continues on the road to recovery," unquote, DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said. Other options from the study include building multi-million-dollar filtration systems or tapping into the Tomahawk Reservoir or Troy's water supply would also cost up to $48.5 million. Now officials will consider these options to make a decision. Quote, "This is a positive development, and I am glad the water resource study is now available for review by the public and other stakeholders. It has been several years since this issue was discovered, and a comprehensive resolution is needed," unquote, Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin said. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that employment continues to rise region-wide, with Sullivan County again leading by a large margin as it continued to benefit from the presence of its almost two-year-old casino. The casino, Resorts World Catskill, continues to be the main driver of that county's non-farm employment, according to data provided October 17 by the State Department of Labor. Non-farm employment includes all jobs in the private and public sectors, with the exception of those in agriculture. In Ulster County, the non-farm job total rose by 1,700, a 2.2% gain. The Dutchess Putnam Metropolitan Division gained 2,100 non-farm jobs, an increase of 1.4%. The non-farm job total for Columbia County in September 2019 was 22,600, a gain of 400, or 1.8% from a year earlier. Greene County's total last month was 15,500, a gain of 1.3%. Statewide, the September unemployment rate was 3.9%. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
David Lombardo reports in the Times Union that the night before Thanksgiving, the commission set to announce new state election campaign rules will announce its proposal. State Republican Party Chairperson Nick Langworthy accused the commission of burying the report by announcing it when few New Yorkers will be paying attention to the news. Quote, "We're doing the best we can with the schedule," unquote, said Commissioner Jay Jacobs, who is also chair of the state Democratic Party. The commission's report is due by December 1st. The commission is expected to propose creating a system of matching political contributions with taxpayer funds, but a majority of commissioners would have to approve whatever plan is announced. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. The state of New York could require dyslexia screening in preschool. The state does not currently have a consistent standard for schools to screen students for the disorder. Dyslexia is a general term for disorders that cause difficulty in learning to read or interpret words, letters, and other symbols, but does not affect general intelligence. At a forum held recently at the Rockefeller Institute of Government in Albany, several experts in the field discussed common misconceptions among educators about dyslexia and made a case for early detection and intervention. Researchers say that students who cannot read at grade level by the time they get to third grade are unlikely to ever catch up to their peers. Assemblywoman Joanne Simon said, and I quote, "About 60% of kids learn to read no matter what you do with them, but about 40% don't and need direct instruction. There are a lot of perceptions about dyslexia. What we want to do is make this easy and make sure we are helping the most kids," end quote. It is estimated that about 1 in 5 children have dyslexia, although some experts say the figure is significantly lower. 7 states in the U.S. have passed laws requiring schools to test students for dyslexia in early grades. And you can read the full story in the Times Union.
Many of the leaves from trees may have blown off in the storm earlier this week, but the New York Foliage Report predicts much color on those remaining. Quote, "In Greene County, observers reporting from Catskill project that the town and the county's valley areas will be at peak this weekend, with 90% change and brilliant shades of red, yellow, and orange. The county's mountains will be past peak with nearly 100% color change and bright red, orange, yellow, and green leaves. Peak colors may still be found around Catterskill and Plot Cloves. Foliage will be past peak this weekend in Delaware County. Look for complete color transition and bright gold and orange leaves among a significant number of bare trees. Foliage change has come on strong in the Kingston area of Ulster County. Spotters are projecting peak conditions for this weekend with 75% color change in yellow, orange, and burgundy leaves, along with brilliant shades of red. At Bellaire Mountain in Ulster County High Mount, the foliage changed quickly over the past week and will be past peak by the weekend with 100% color transition and primarily orange leaves.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, areas of frost before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 58 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of around 35. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 60 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 40 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Sunday, October 20th, Ghostly Gallop 5K Race and Kids Fun Run will be held at the Hudson Junior Senior High School. Proceeds from the event benefit the Hudson Area Library. Visit ghostlygallop.info for more information. The Bridge Street Theater's The Subject Was Roses will play at 7:30 p.m., and the Ghent Playhouse presents The Cemetery Club at 8. Little White Lie is a documentary by Lacey Schwartz Delgado about race and identity. She will be present to introduce her work, and there will be a question and answer afterwards with the audience at the Saugerties Public Library at 7 p.m. Registration is required. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting wgxc.org/calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol Friedman of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Trump must stop his attacks on the press. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Donald Trump's daily fusillades against journalists and the news media are vile and reprehensible. Trump never misses a chance to assail the press at news conferences, White House press sprays under the roar of the presidential helicopter, and especially at his campaign rallies. Last week, at a three-day conference of Trump supporters held at his National Doral Golf Resort in Miami, where, incidentally, Trump is angling to host and thus personally profit from next year's G7 meeting, a video was shown depicting Trump storming through a church of fake news, slaughtering parishioners whose heads were replaced with news organization logos or the faces of political opponents. Reports of the violent video sparked outrage, but the time for surprise over Trump's demonization of the press is long past. He's fueling hatred and encouraging violence and needs to be held accountable. According to the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, journalists have faced over 100 separate incidents of press freedom violations so far this year. From arbitrary arrests while covering protests to denial of access to immigrant jails or important public hearings, fortunately, there have not been any deaths among U.S.-based journalists this year, but journalists around the world have faced injury and death in the course of their work. Soon after an October 6 phone call between Trump and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Trump made the surprise announcement ordering U.S. troops to withdraw from Kurdish-controlled northern Syria. Shortly after an October 6 phone call between Trump and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Trump made the surprise announcement ordering U.S. troops to withdraw from Kurdish-controlled northern Syria. Shortly thereafter, Turkey invaded. At a news conference Wednesday, Trump boasted that no U.S. soldiers have been harmed, calling the situation nice.
All accounted for, nobody injured, nobody missing. It's really nice.
Yet among other attacks, a Turkish airstrike on a civilian caravan in northern Syria Sunday killed 15 people, including two Syrian Kurdish journalists, Mohammed Hussein Rasho and Saad Ahmed. Last week marked the first anniversary of the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi inside the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, reportedly killed on the orders of the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Khashoggi wrote critically of the Saudi dictator and was lured into the consulate to obtain documents for his forthcoming marriage. There, he was allegedly tortured, suffocated to death, dismembered by a team of a dozen Saudi operatives. The CIA traced the orders to bin Salman. Despite this, Trump still supports the Crown Prince, even vetoing congressional condemnations of Khashoggi's killing and restrictions on arms sales to Saudi Arabia, which also enables the kingdom's ongoing bombing of Yemen. Journalism, even outside of war zones, is still a dangerous profession. This week marks the second anniversary of the assassination of the independent journalist Daphne Galizia in the Mediterranean island of Malta. She'd been doggedly reporting on corruption at the highest levels of Maltese government. As the Committee to Protect Journalists wrote on the anniversary of her death, October 16th, three men are currently in detention in relation to the killing. However, the perpetrators, including the masterminds, have yet to be brought to justice, they said. A consortium of press organizations has taken a novel approach to ensure that the work of murdered or otherwise silenced colleagues continues. Forbidden Stories is a network of journalists who have committed to pursuing these stories. Even if you succeed in stopping a single messenger, their website promises, dozens will take their place and deliver the message, they say. Forbidden Voices coordinated the Daphne Project, with 45 journalists pursuing Galizia's unfinished stories and investigating her assassination with important ongoing results. Green Blood is Forbidden Stories' project on murdered and censored environmental journalists. With depth and rigor, the must-read reporting honors these journalists, providing a model for how members of the press can stand together in the face of serious threats. Their first reports covered three cases where violence and intimidation have been used to silence a free press. The murder of the Indian journalist Jagendra Singh for his work on organized crime related to India's powerful sand mafias that illegally extract and sell sand. The suppression of reporting on the massive, heavily polluting North Mara gold mine in Tanzania, and indigenous resistance to a nickel mine in Guatemala. There, reporter Carlos Chok has fought criminal charges for over 2 years, stemming from his reporting fleeing to El Salvador at one point to avoid arrest. While the court case drags on, Chok is prevented from reporting. A free press is vital to a democratic society, which is why it is enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. President Trump encourages violence against journalists with his constant vitriol. Condemnation of his behavior, of his words, must be vigorous, bipartisan, and unrelenting. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to Teeth and Trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
Alan Skerritt coming to you from our WGXC FM radio station here in Hudson, New York. I also understand that we are about to embark or have embarked on a fundraising effort here, and Neva is going to bring me some of the information that I'm going to need to share with you about what we're calling it and what our goals are. I understand one of our goals, which has always been one of our goals, is to make our listening audience more aware of the various nonprofit agencies and programs that are serving the people of this city and county. Sometimes you don't hear much about them and what they're doing, unless somehow they wind up in the newspaper, and sometimes that isn't the most positive account. Our newspapers tend to leave things out to support the right wing. Talk about fake news or no news sometimes is just as bad, or incomplete news, you know. And as well, we are also launching our on-air pledge drive, and our theme seems to be the effort we are making to connect or reconnect or maintain connection with our community collaborators. Those people who provide services and sometimes inadvertently in collusion with WGXC in an effort to serve and inform and join together in the services that we provide to the citizens of Columbia County. So that's what we're about today and throughout the on-air pledge drive. So our goal is to add 50 more sustaining supporters. If you are not aware of who those people might be, those are people who monthly donate funds to WGXC so that we can continue to serve the community, but with more, you know, available funds to do it than waiting till we're broke and have to do a fund drive. So overall, WGXC would like to pick up 50 or so more sustaining donation providers. I personally would love to hear 5 people call us and pledge your support to be a sustaining driver, donator, rather. So if you're listening to us now and you understand what it is we're talking about this time around, certainly many of you who are regular listeners know that we periodically have to do these on-air pledge drives in order for us to remain on the air and serving this community. So, come on, folks. I know you're out there. I know you listen. And I would find it very interesting to know how many people of you out there have not, to this point, made a donation of any amount of money, you know,